The 3-2, swinging a long fly ball. Deep left field, back and gone. Number 61 for Aaron Judge. He matches Maris, the ultimate Bronx bomber.
And the payoff.
There goes the deep left, and it's high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single-season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the Judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
History in the city of Toronto last night. And if you're waking up this morning, sitting on the 401 in traffic, or maybe you're feeling a little bit down that you had to turn on the heat in your car for the first time, or maybe you're feeling a little bit frustrated that you might have to run the beep test because you lost the bet. Nobody in the city of Toronto is feeling worse than that fan who had the opportunity of a lifetime to secure Aaron Judge's 61st home run and watched it slip out of his glove into the Blue Jays bullpen.
You blew it!
Nothing you are dealing with this morning is as bad as that.
I'm surprised you said that fan, because he's got a name.
It's two pieces of information on that fan.
Okay, go for it.
It's Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. You already know that. We have so much to talk about. Aaron Judge hits the historical moment at Rogers Center last night. You watch the ball soaring into the sky. Pretty low for Aaron Judge. So there's...
not a no-doubter.
This anxiety on the edge of your seat, on the edge of the railing. The ball is approaching the 200 level above the bullpen. 100?
100.
100 level above the bullpen. It just narrowly misses a glove extended by a man in a Bo Bichette jersey. Ironic? Maybe. Couldn't get the catch? Bo Bichette jersey? Let's move
but
on.
That's besides the point.
The ball trickles down into the Blue Jays bullpen. Buddy A, in the Blue Jays Bichette jersey, is beside Buddy B in the baby blue Vladdy jersey, I believe. Buddy B has a name, and he has spoken to the media about last night's events. His name is Frankie Lasagna.
Now, I've spent a little bit of time in Woodbridge, Ontario, so I feel like I know exactly where Frankie Lasagna hangs out, but continue.
Frankie Lasagna has spoken to the media about being a part of that massive miss, what will be replayed forever in baseball lore. He's the guy, not the dark blue jersey, baby blue jersey, but you can see it when you watch the replay, which you'll see for the rest of your life. He reaches over. He's also not able to capture the ball as it falls into the abyss. I don't think I could watch that anymore. At one point last night, I felt sick to my stomach.
Now, I feel like Frankie Lasagna's actually kind of a winner here.
Because he got ahead of the narrative.
No, but Frankie Lasagna never had a chance at that ball.
No.
The other guy.
Declined to speak to the media because he knows.
He's so beaten up over this because he could have had the catch. Frankie Lasagna was just in the area. And now Frankie Lasagna's taken the 15 minutes talking to reporters, and good on him. He was right there. He has a story to tell. But Frankie Lasagna is not the guy who should be feeling too upset about what just happened, because it was the other guy who had a chance, whiffed, had a glove on it. If you can touch it, you can catch it, right? That's the rule?
Yeah.
If you can touch it, you can catch it. Missed, threw his glove off another man's
bald head, which was hilarious.
The throw, like, I wonder if he knew the guy, just like threw his glove at a random person
out, and then for sure.
smacked him right in the face or smacked him right on top of the head. A missed opportunity for sure. It's hilarious, so it's fun to talk about. Certainly a missed opportunity in terms of like someone having a story, or someone having a story that actually has a happy ending. We'll say that. These guys are going to remember this moment forever.
so will the rest of the baseball and sporting world. That clip has already been viewed.
I don't know. When 62 is hit,
I don't care.
There's going to be another story.
Depends how 62 is hit. We'll talk about that. But 61, with the pressure on Aaron Judge, the pressure on that fan, he blows it.
I'm actually amazed by how often people make great catches out there.
Videos of people catching with a baby in one hand, a beer in the other.
And just throw two hands up and just...
Unreal.
Like, it's really impressive.
Crumbled.
It's really impressive how often decent catches are made. No, it doesn't happen all the time. And, we don't have people leaning over the fence and robbing it from landing in the bullpen all the time. I'm not saying he should have made that catch. Like, he's some sort of schlub who messed
this
up.
I'm stopping you there. You should have made the catch. If you are,
but he did have a chance.
And you're there for a reason. He didn't, coincidentally have that ticket. Like, he was there to catch the ball. He brought a glove. This guy was dialed in, and he missed the golden ticket.
He definitely understood the stakes big time. Like, his react, like, he was crestfallen. He was
crestfallen.
He was a mess. I don't know. We probably should have someone check on him.
No, I... At first, I thought it was really funny, and then, as I said, I started to feel sick for the guy. They did a split screen of him sitting there on his, just stewing in the mess that he had created, and they had a split screen with, Aaron Judge being, elated and running around, gallivanting. And
the guys in the booth, too, were ripping on him pretty good.
Well, yeah, Justin, I don't know how you can't. I feel for him, but also... You got to know better. You got to be ready for this. This is your moment.
I mean, he was ready.
He wasn't ready.
I even think he came down a little bit. Like, I feel like he was in the second row because by the time he throws the glove, people are in front of him. Like, it's almost like he squeezed in and got there in the nick of time, but just didn't extend enough.
Nonetheless, an absolute disaster. This guy's going to have to move to a different part of the country. Actually, probably a different part of the world, because he's going to be famously known as the Blue Jay fan in the dark blue Jays jersey with the glove, who threw the glove, who had the meltdown, who was on split screen for 20 minutes on SportsCenter broadcast, who declined to speak to the media, who is probably rocking in a corner somewhere in his apartment. I really feel for the guy now, but I think his future is not to be in the city of Toronto for a bit. I think he's never going to be able to live that down. Imagine him going into work today. He works at, I don't know, a shipping plant? Like, they ship stuff, or I don't know. Just
a blue-collar guy.
Thinking of a generic job, Justin. He walks in, everyone's like, hey, Phil, how was the game last night?
Kind of look like a Phil.
Yeah, I just guessed Phil. Yeah, this game was good. Oh, you see the home run? Yeah, I saw it. Was that you on TV?
Look familiar, Phil.
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't me. I don't know what happened. I feel for the guy a lot.
The thing is, not everyone has the clutch gene. Not everyone's Aaron Judge. He knew how to handle the moment. He knew how to handle the moment all 3 days in this series.
Sure did.
And Frankie Lasagna's only competition for that ball. And he will continue to go nameless. He doesn't have the clutch gene. He didn't step up when the moment really mattered like Aaron Judge did. I'm glad that happened.
It kind of is a relief almost,
kinda,
right?
That it broke a 3-3 tie at the time, right? Anyway, the Yankees took back control immediately on that Aaron Judge home run after the Jays had tied the game. So it was like the stakes were important in the moment. So that's, it would be nice if it was the eighth run in what was an 8-3 final, I believe. But I think Blue Jays fans handled it appropriately.
I respected the fans in the moment.
And there was a lot of the booing, the cheering when, Aaron Judge's at bats were either ending in a walk or someone actually threw a pitch.
But everybody knew the magnitude of that moment.
But everyone understood the magnitude. And I think pretty much everyone except the guy who whiffed on the catch rose to the occasion. I think it was well handled by pretty much everyone, including the calls that let us in. They
Incredible
were unbelievable.
Calls.
Everything worked out pretty well. And I feel happy for Roger Maris Jr. and Aaron Judge's mom.
Yeah.
Hopefully this can come to an end. Like, they're sitting together, cameras on them at all times. Three games in Toronto they got to sit through. They're going to have to do it again in New York. Like, they probably have ran out of things to talk about, I would think.
It's a long time.
A long time to be sitting with someone you just met like a couple weeks ago, traveling around with. But they had that nice moment as well, which is great.
Most of the fan base and most of the people in attendance were very happy to witness that moment. Text in 590-590, where are you at the game? First of all, if you're at the game, what that atmosphere was like, you got to be a part of history. You got to witness it. If you're the guy in the dark blue Jays jersey.
We'd love to hear from you,
we'd
too.
We'd love to hear from you. If you're Frankie Lasagna.
You want to break your silence on the fan morning show.
We'll get Frankie Lasagna on the line. If he wants to call in, we'll send him the number. He can speak to us directly. A wonderful part of history that we got to be a part of. Tim Mayza, I'm not sure how he's feeling this morning. He's on the other side of that call for the rest of his life. He's on the other side of the video for the rest of his life.
Yeah, we finally have the name to that trivia question.
It's Tim Mayza.
But again, the worst one is to come. Right?
Yeah.
60, you're going to remember 62, more than 61 in all facets. Probably going to happen at Yankee Stadium, which is, for Yankee fans, more special than it happening at Rogers Center. And whoever gives up number 62 will be remembered just a bit more than Tim Mayza will be, if you want a silver lining, Tim.
Chad from Peterborough texts in. Hey, Chad, what's up? It's our guy.
It's our guy. We can win without Chad, by the way.
We can win without Chad. Exciting. If you're a grown man or woman bringing a glove to the ballpark, you better catch the ball that has been hit right to you. I don't feel bad for that guy at all. Don't bring a glove if you can't catch a ball.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good point.
That's the take.
That's a good point. Because it's controversial.
Roasted.
It's controversial bringing a glove anyway. I'm not one of those persons that shames people. Like, if you want to bring a glove, bring a glove. You want to play catch with your kid on the way to the ballpark? Like, great. Do it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm not in that camp. If you're a grown man with a glove on your hand, I don't care. Do your thing. But if you get a chance.
Exactly.
You got to make the catch. Because people are out there making catches with bare hand, two hands, in their shirt.
With a baby
with
and
a baby,
beer. They catch it in their
nachos.
Beer.
They figure out a way. And you prepared yourself the best you could. And it was a tough catch, but it was a makeable catch.
Surprised nobody jumped in the bullpen. This is actually a very important
I was thinking that as well. I was like,
about.
What's going to happen here? Immediately, I'm like, is something going to go down?
It honestly
And there was
been
very little movement inside
really
the blue. Like, they're just like, okay, we're going to let this ball land where it lands. That's what it felt like. But we do know what happened to the ball.
So this is the update in case you didn't follow the location of the ball post bullpen. The ball landed in the bullpen and Blue Jays batting coach, pitching coach.
Bullpen coach,
Bushman.
Maddie Bushman
grabbed the ball, puts it aside out of reach of the cameras. Everyone's wondering where it went. A lot of people said maybe Kikuchi's got the ball and then he can buy out his contract and can get off the Blue Jays payroll. Okay, move on from that. So the ball ends up in the Blue Jays bullpen. It is, however, given back to Aaron Judge. Zach Britton came over and asked for the ball. The Blue Jays gave him the ball. Jordan Romano played a pivotal role in giving the ball back to Aaron Judge. He was called out as a class act move from the closer to find a way for to make that ball go to its deserved owner. And Aaron Judge, post-game, presents the ball to his mom, Patty Judge. So in the ranking of things that we wanted to see happen with this ball, I think this is a pretty good success story. Nobody got injured.
Yeah.
There was no fighting in the stands, which could have been a disaster.
A funny story from the stands.
We got a lighthearted funny story.
To some.
You got the Blue Jays looking like class acts, being really great people, giving the ball back to Aaron Judge. He gets the opportunity to give it to his mom. I think that's kind of like the perfect story.
It is kind of perfect. It would have been cool if someone became super, maybe not super rich, but
there's
rich
still a chance.
Like, it would have been nice if that happened. But then again, like, careful what you wish for, because maybe this person is just a massive jerk. And like holds it hostage and just thinks he's so cool or she's so cool because they got the ball and they treat it like they're 15 to 30 minutes, 45 minutes of fame, and they juice everything out of they can from it. And that would have been annoying. And then we turn on that fan. and we'd resent that fan. Because ultimately what we want and why it's worth money is it's going to go into someone's hands who, I guess it could have been a rich person's hands. But ideally it ends up with Aaron Judge and with Aaron Judge's mom. And that's exactly what happened. So we can be happy about that. It would have been cool if someone got a little something for it.
There's always number 62.
But there's always number 62. Good spin.
Yankees are going back home for this next stretch, which kind of bodes perfectly for another part of this perfect storyline to go.
Fights in the bleachers.
There will be some fights. Obviously, this is the Aaron Judge evening. Lots of really great post-game stuff from him. If you had a chance to go on sportsnet.ca and watch some of those videos, listen to Jay's talk post-game, you got to hear some of the words and memories shared around Aaron Judge. He had a great on-field post-game interview in the moment. I'm sure there's so much of range of emotion going through someone that's quite stoic and well reserved, but here's his post-game interview on the field.
You know, the inning before, the Blue Jays put three runs to tie the game, you know, so I was just trying to go up there and, you know, try to start a rally, get something going, you know, and you know, luckily I was able to battle off a couple tough pitches and finally got one, you know, not over the heart of the plate and was able to put a good swing on it.
What's going through your mind as you're rounding the bases there and you know that you tied the record?
Well, I was hoping it got over the fence. I didn't know at first. You know, I didn't want to, you know, be standing at home plate when it hits the wall. And but, you know, it's an incredible honor. And, you know, there was a lot of emotions. You know, it took me a little longer than I wanted to. But, you know, getting a chance to add two runs to the board, you know, how about Gary get another win? You know, this is something pretty special.
Hey, you mentioned the weight. You typically dig in the batter's box. But right before you hit that pitch, you stepped out and kind of collected yourself. What made you step out in that situation?
Oh, well, I fouled a pitch off, and I actually liked the way the swing felt. So I was kind of like, hey, like, I tried to soak in the moment about what that swing felt like, what the moment felt like, so that I could try to go out there and repeat it again, and it worked out.
You've been a team first guy all the way. You're beloved in that clubhouse because of it. What did it mean to you to have your teammates come out of the dugout and congratulate you on your moment?
That was pretty cool. I wasn't expecting it. You know, you never know what's going to happen, what the guys are going to do, but, you know, seeing the love for my teammates, you know, who I, you know, show up to work every single day to, you know, I do what I do for them, you know, and, you know, being able to share that moment with them and, you know, do it up here in a win, it's tough to describe right now.
With that win, the Yankees pushed the Jays magic number still at one because
holding at one, yeah.
The Orioles lost, but
also the Rays lost. So a decent, not decent night, but the Blue Jays are surviving a little two-game skid here.
The Blue Jays could clinch tonight, actually.
Which would be anticlimactic.
Which would be anticlimactic because they're not playing. So it really depends on what happens in the Orioles-Red Sox game, which is at one. So actually be a part of your daytime viewing. But apparently the Jays have said, we're just not even going to make this a thing. We'll push our celebrations to Friday. They'll be at home. So
I like that, but like, it won't be the same.
No, it won't be the same. So they could potentially not clinch today if things shake out the way they could, but potentially we come up tomorrow morning, Friday morning, and the Blue Jays have clinched playoffs. That's to be determined. But yes, Yankees headed back home, Blue Jays a day off today. But yesterday's game, besides it being the Aaron Judge history-making game, a loss for the Blue Jays, starting with Mitch White.
Should we be surprised?
No. We shouldn't be surprised. I don't think.
No, I'm not surprised in the least bit. We ran down the numbers. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays haven't won a Mitch White start in September, and they've had a great month of September, although it's getting a little bit worse over the last couple of days here. But, like, what were we banking on? The New York Yankees to have too much fun last night and not be ready to play?
That was the hopeful narrative, is that they were too hungover.
That Gerrit Cole would be scared of Alek Manoah sitting on a cooler across.
That was part of it,
like,
yes.
These were the narratives we were clinging to. Because we know that the Blue Jays are outmatched in any Mitch White start. And honestly, we're getting to the point now where it seems a little negligent to keep putting him out there. Like in hockey, there's, you know, you rush a prospect. It can happen in all sports, but like we'll go to what maybe the sport where it seems to happen the most, where you can really waste a talent. Not to say Mitch White's this like great talent that needs to be, you know, nurtured or massaged or whatever. But if you keep running someone who does have potential, and if you're playing in the major leagues, I guess you have potential out there to get shelled and to continue to question himself and his abilities because he gets hit around at will. Like, what does that do for the athlete? And I don't know if the Blue Jays have any other, they don't have another answer because mm-hmm. they're just going to be rushing someone else into the same situation. So they're kind of, they are where they are. But like when you make someone just eat it over and over and over again, maybe it might have some long-term effects and impacts down the stretch. There was some like, okay, we might have something here, someone we can work with, and maybe they can be a part of our future. That was what, that was like the conversation around Mitch White when he was acquired, right? Like maybe there's something we can work with here, but like he's not going to be a difference maker right now, and he's clearly not. Well, he is the opposite way. But you risk, if you continue to let him get pummeled, at least in my eyes, sort of ruin or spoil or stunt any sort of meaningful development. Again, he could rebound, but he's got to be pretty sure of himself and strong mentally in order to just like get over the fact that every time he's on the bump in a major league game, the opposing team is feasting. It's not good.
And the opposing team didn't have Rizzo, Torres, and Stanton in the lineup because they were getting a day off, and Aaron Boone let Anthony Rizzo serve as acting manager. Like, it was like a layup game for the Yankees. They were mailing it in other than putting Aaron Judge out there to hit his home run record.
And on the opposite side was Gerrit Cole, who was dialed. We were like crossing our fingers thinking he wouldn't be ready to go, but was perfect through five. And you can see the difference in quality all over that broadcast. And it's not to say that you don't belong in this league if you can't go head-to-head with Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's Gerrit Cole. But Mitch White does not belong at this level right now. And unfortunately, he's playing a pretty major role on a team that should be going to the playoffs within, you know, we'll find out within the next couple days here, for sure. But it shows the incompleteness of this team if they have to continue to turn to him. Because it's almost like waving the white flag every fifth day.
Great text in from Rick and Markham. To me, last night's game was a reflection of Blue Jays management and their trade deadline acquisition. You have Mitch White going up against Gerrit Cole in a potential playoff clinching game, and that is what we have to march out there to face Gerrit Cole, Mitch White. It's all on management. It's a major failure for this team and this season.
And I am convinced that it has an effect on the team. Like, when you know you can't win when he's on the mound, it's hard to put your best foot forward, is it not? If you have a sieve in net.
I was just thinking, as a player, there's been times where you have your backup goaltender starting, and you certainly lack some confidence, but also maybe you change your game plan because you're like, we really need to...
You can in a more obvious team atmosphere.
For sure.
This is obviously
but
a team
sport. But it
affects
you mentally,
but
regardless.
Everything is done individually. You can't do anything to help Mitch White unless you throw four more outfielders out there.
And there's a lot of tiny errors that are being made from the Blue Jays in the last couple of days.
And that doesn't help either.
And that doesn't help, but I don't know, maybe there's a connection there. But Gerrit Cole, as you mentioned on the other side, retired the first 15 batters of the game. He was looking lights out, and then he crumbled.
Yeah.
And there's probably not many things I love in the game of baseball more than Gerrit Cole crumbling.
Did you see him dancing after the...
After the like clinch on Tuesday?
There's a clip of him dancing?
Yeah, of course I did.
Hilarious.
I don't like the guy.
What's the word? What's one of our words?
Skeevy.
Skeevy.
I just... when
He's kind of skeevy.
I just think it's shocking how people get in his head, the fans. He was just like, it was too loud for him. He had like balked off the mound, and it was just...
Well, that's if there's anything to take from the game, it's like that was maybe 50% of what the crowd could be at its mm-hmm. peak. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad crowd. We were just
right.
giving
it's
them
not the
their
playoffs
flowers.
Yet. Yeah.
It's not the playoffs. The
it's
noise
a Wednesday night.
On a Wednesday night, noise level, not even close to what it could be. And they were impacting Gerrit Cole. Just based on the pitch calm alone. So that shows you the importance of home field advantage. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're not getting into game 162 talk, but this should be a goal, and it's less likely to be achieved every time you throw Mitch White out there. If you could eliminate Mitch White starts, if this was a four-man rotation and it was spaced out and baseball lived in this beautiful world where there's a little bit more of the good and less of the bad, Blue Jays would have no problems. They'd be comfortably in right now. Home field locked up because they can get great results mm-hmm. when they have, even though Jose Berríos is a bit of a dark hole too, when they're leaning on their three and they have a chance to win with Berríos, but they have no chance with Mitch White. Like it just, you're continuously stubbing yourself in the, or stubbing your toe.
Yeah.
Stubbing yourself in the foot. That was not the right way to say it. It's an issue that won't go away. And if I have to see him on the mound at all in the postseason, like if it happens somehow, it will probably be in a garbage time scenario. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I can watch it.
Pretty extreme. But I get it.
Can you watch that?
Well, I will have to.
Well, you don't have to.
And I'll find a way to find a positive spin on it. But yeah, it's a tough situation. But keep in mind, Kikuchi and Ryu have been things that the Blue Jays have had to battle through. And Mitch White has been put in this position. And he was never the first option.
But you knew.
Well, there's no excusing the fact.
Was it Stripling who had an injury that they knew about at the deadline and they didn't do anything? Like a little minor thing?
The glute butt one, yeah.
Yeah. But and like it hasn't been a big thing.
There's no excusing the fact that they
like,
don't
hey,
have that person.
We're a little thin here. We're a little 100%.
Thin. 100%. And that's going to be, if they don't have postseason success, we'll come back to this question. We'll look back at the trade deadline and say, well, that's why you didn't make it past the wild card round, because you had your fourth option as Mitch White and your...
I might roll Kikuchi one more time down the stretch over him.
Okay, now you're talking crazy here. Just down the street from Rogers Center, Scotiabank Arena. More positive outcome for the Toronto team. Maple Leafs win 3-0 over the Montreal Canadiens. Matt?
Less historic, though.
Less historic. Well, historic because Matt Murray made his debut for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Shutout. 16 saves on 16 shots. Got to see the Matt Murray experience. We also got to see a couple forwards playing D.
Yeah.
Got to see a little bit of a shakeup out there in terms of lineup configurations, the Malgin experience, the Nick Robertson experience. There's a lot to unpack from a preseason game, which I know sometimes is like, it's preseason, like playing the prude. Everybody gets all mm-hmm. grumpy about it. Well, you know what? I mean, that's our job. So Leafs win 3-0. We'll start with Matt Murray because I think that was one of our must-see improvement, must see some actual evidence from when we were setting up yesterday's game. And he looked good. He looked strong. He looked confident. He spoke highly about his team post-game. I'm very satisfied with my very first viewing of Matt Murray in a Maple Leaf jersey.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be. He looked big, controlled, square, looked like a goaltender that was sure of himself and not dealing with the issues that he's dealt with. Like if you didn't know the history, you had no context, just watch me like, oh, that guy looks pretty good. And that should be the thing. I mean, he has been a legit NHL starter. He's got all the physical attributes. It looked fantastic. However, if the wind blows a different way with this guy, at least in the recent history here, and it's not right, then it goes south. So, like, it's like, yeah, I'd love to get excited about mm-hmm. how the Leafs have two new goaltenders who were terrific in their debuts, got the jitters maybe out of the way, started on the front foot. Fantastic. However, there's a lot more season. And by a lot more season, I mean the entire season.
And they had a little bit of a shakeup on the defensive side as well. Goaltending was strong, but Jordy Benn and Dahlstrom both exiting the game,
mm-hmm.
leaving a couple forwards to fill in on the back end. Step into that role.
Yeah, I think the only thing we can really take from it is obviously it means nothing.
I've had to do this before.
But you got some defensive experience.
It's much different than at the NHL level, but it's kind of fun.
Although, if you look at Cali Yarncroak's numbers, his like expected goals playing defense was like in the near 90%, like hilariously effective, which is, you know, maybe there's experiments we could do at hockey where talent everywhere and maybe it works out. Anyway, I think he's the new Hyman.
Yeah, I like that narrative.
But he's the new Hyman in that it's like this relationship between coach and player. Do you remember when like every time Mike Babcock had a moment to stand in front of a mic, he was throwing praise at Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
To the point where it was probably uncomfortable for Zach Hyman. And probably, he probably got mocked about it incessantly because he would not stop talking about how much he loved Zach Hyman throughout his tenure. We're getting to the point now where Sheldon Keefe can't stop talking about Cal Yarncroft.
Oh, I don't blame him. Croak.
Why can't I get that? Anyway, I'll get it down. Sheldon Keefe has it down. Loves him. Like, he's talking about how good of a shooter he is. He's putting him on D because he's the guy he can rely on. It's the Cali Yarncroak Fest for Sheldon Keefe. He's got a new favorite. That seems abundantly clear.
Hyman. Kerfoot also being a little bit of a glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's less surprising to me. He's always been that kind of glue guy.
He's a responsible guy.
But with the list of current blue liners on the Leafs roster that are playing, Morgan Rielly, TJ Brody, Mark Giordano, Justin Hall, and Victor Mete, there's a glaring hole for somebody that could be a part of this team right now that is overseas waiting to sign a contract, that this just continuously becomes opportunity zone, opportunity central. Come on in and earn your keep. Yet Rasmus Sandin is still not a part of this team. And I wonder if this injury little bug that's going around in the back end of this team helps push this over the edge.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out if it was about fit today, the rest of this week.
Yeah.
Because if it's a fit thing,
your fit is there.
I mean, these guys are dropping like flies.
It's like
here.
They're doing it to help you.
Exactly. And the cap space should be there. Like, if someone starts on IR, I don't, like, they're again, they'll figure it out with the cap thing. But playing time exists and is in front of you, and you still have enough runway on training camp to be ready for opening night if you're Rasmus Sandin. So he should be here. He should be signed by the end of the week because the situation is what it is. But maybe he just thinks he's worth more than he really is. And he's going to continue this holdout. And the already stunted development that he's had, like, he should be a little bit further along in the process than he is. And a lot of that is like 2 years of just, you know, messed up scheduling and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really putting his career at risk if he doesn't show up and take advantage of the minutes that are available to him. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Like, you have forwards playing defense right now.
Yep.
If you're Rasmus Sandin watching from...
And they're going to find another defenseman.
Still?
Yeah, they're going to find another defenseman if you don't show up.
They're going to call someone up from Toronto Metropolitan Bold. And they're going to give him a PTO before Rasmus Sandin...
E-Bugs?
Comes
E-Bud.
On over.
E-Bugs.
And E-Bud is going to come and take your spot in the third pairing. I just think it's high alert time. Today's Thursday, Friday. If we don't have any information about this contract moving forward, I think there's something deeper to be concerned about. We'll have Elliot Friedman on at 8 a.m. as well. Maybe he'll give us a little
tidbit. So if something is in the works.
Well, no. We will know by 8:20.
Maybe he'll break it on here for us.
Wouldn't that be nice?
A couple other things for the game quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Goals from both Nick Robertson and Denny Malgin.
Good for them, eh?
It's and
this
it's
preseason's
it's
all
kind,
about you
it's
earn
kind
your keep.
Of it's kind of important. John Tavares is out. There's a space, there's a vacancy on that second line position. If not the third line, because someone else is going to be pushed up into that second line. So there is a forward spot available, and Nick Robertson took one out of the Austin Matthews playbook, but with a really nice finish on his chance. Denny Malgin scored. A couple moments for players that are in and around the bubble and have something to prove. So can they continue to build on that? Can they continue to show Sheldon Keefe that they've got the other aspects to their games needed to play a focal role? We will see. But, you know, guys we wanted to see step up have stepped up. And I'm not going to get too excited about Denny Malgin because we've heard this story before, right? Like, every year there's someone. What was it last year? Kirill Semyonov.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that name? Year before that?
Wow.
Alexander Barabanov.
Holy throwbacks.
Year before that, I got another one.
Who?
Mikko Lehtinen. Like, there's always a guy we always get so excited about.
Yeah,
they're
going
to change. And then they end up on waivers within
But this is part two of the Denis Malgin experience.
It is part two of the Denis Malgin experience. I call him Denny, by the way.
Denny, okay.
And it's not fair to just write him off immediately because he had two really good years in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And he's still a young guy. He's only 25. Like, mm-hmm. you think about him, okay, he came over in a trade. He's already been gone for 2 years. He's got to be, like, getting up there in age. This is, like, last gasp type stuff. And it probably is. But he's still a young guy. He still could be getting better. And for that reason, he feels like a guy who's going to play a role, 13th forward, maybe, especially with some injuries. But I just don't want to get too excited and say, oh, that's the fix.
Maple Leafs have a boatload of preseason games still ahead. Tomorrow against the Ottawa Senators, Monday against Montreal Canadiens again. Next weekend, Detroit back-to-back, Montreal to end before their home opener on the 13th against the Washington Capitals. So a bunch more opportunities to see some of these guys make an impact. I'm assuming some of these injury bugs won't be fixed in a week. So there's some opportunity, at least on the decor, to make an impact. And up front, like, this is why you do preseason games. We know John Tavares is out 3 weeks-ish. We know that there's going to be a lot of attention on how that second line shakes out. Does the first line stay the way it is? Do they do some tapering so those two lines are a little bit more hybrid? I think there's a lot to be learned over the next week and a half with a bunch of preseason games and guys trying to earn their keep. Like, there's a lot to be said for playing with something to prove as well. So something to chew on as we move forward for the rest of the preseason here is there's some players playing for a lot on the line.
Speaking of something to chew on, should we address the Looney Dogs final tally? Or were you saving that for the A-list?
That's next on the A-list with Justin and Ayler, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Justin Cuthbert and Ailish. Last night, we hit the wake and rake, baby. 3 for 3 with our submission.
People are starting to talk about this.
It's starting to trend.
There's a little buzz around the city.
Cody and St. Kitts with the anchor helped us get over a 0-3.
And important that we won because Tuesday. I said his last name on the air, yeah. And we don't want
people like him now
bothering Cody. But now it should just be
everyone's
fan
bothering
mail,
Cody.
Fan mail to Cody.
So we hit the wake and rake twice in 1 week.
Up 13 units at the moment.
Not bad. Not bad at all. This is your
just
reminder
saying.
For today.
Get involved.
Get involved. So 590-590, send in your anchor for the Wake and Rake submission today. We don't have a lot of sports going on. I guess the Dolphins and Bengals tonight.
It's probably got to be from the football game. And we got Anthony Bruno coming in today.
We do. Sportsnet
Bets. We're calling in from Sportsnet Bets. So we're going to get really cocky. Where are you? Like, our heads are massive right now.
Wait till we tell them about our success rate this week.
No, but we're going for a four-legger. We're just like, we are unstoppable in this moment, other than yesterday, or the 2 days ago when we went 0-3.
Right.
But that's what it's all about. You know what I was thinking about, actually? You know how Mike Babcock, it's two Babcock references in a day, which is way too much. I apologize to everyone who's trying to, you know, erase that
Seriously.
Tenure from their memories. But he used to say, like, five-game segments, right? So we got five-game segments on the on the Wake and Rake. And he's like, okay, we got to get 6 points, I believe, from five-game segments. Mm-hmm. So you can win twice and lose twice in overtime, or you can win three games, whatever. Like, that's what if you get 6 points from five-game segments, you're going to the playoffs. What should our goal be out of our five-game segments here? I mean, all we need is one, because all of these are plus 600 or better, or have been. Not all of them will be. But if we just get one a week, we're in good shape.
And maybe one, just $5 a week would be fun. That sets you over the edge.
$5, a same game parlay. Like, if again, we are going to be measured on our success in the Wake and Rake. The anchor. Our submissions, of course. But if we just get once a week, we're good.
I agree.
And we're 2 of 3, so we're feeling...
It's a pretty good start to the Fan Morning Show here. So text in 590-590. If you want to be a part of today's anchor, it's Baby Friday, which is one of the best days of the week behind Real Friday. So let's kick off your Friday morning tomorrow with a bit of money. So that's tonight. Dolphins, Bengals, most likely your anchor pick's going to come from that. That was just a quick reminder before we do the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Can't believe I went 45 minutes without bringing this up. The amount of self-control that I have is
a few mentions.
Unparalleled. Everyone has been waiting patiently for Shai Davidi yesterday to put out some very important statistics revolving around the baseball world and the consumption of fans on Tuesday night and their loony dogs. And just a quick reminder for those of you that might have missed it. Setting up loony dogs on Tuesday, Justin and I made a wager. And I set the line at 50,000 hot dogs consumed by Torontonians and other fans in attendance to consume loony dogs. And I said 50,000.
Can I just for a second give you some flowers?
Yeah, please. Always. Anytime.
We talk about Vegas. You know, they set the line. They're always right. Really hard to win money in the National Football League because Vegas always knows what the number is.
Mm-hmm.
You're living, you're on the edge every game. Every time an NFL game is played, it seems it could swing one way or the other in the final seconds because the number is always right no matter who wins or no matter who covers, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas has nothing on you. 50,000 was the number. It landed within 1,000 hot dogs of that. You're a sharp. You could go to Vegas and set lines.
I could.
It's actually pretty remarkable.
I'm going to tell Anthony Bruno when he's on about the accomplishments of setting the line. But don't distract from where this is going.
It's more important than winning the bet.
No, I don't know.
But okay, keep setting it up.
So I set it at 50,000 hot dogs. Shai Davidi takes a sweet time posting the results, so much so that I couldn't break it live on air. But yesterday afternoon, he posts that 50,743 hot dogs were consumed, crowning me the champion. The Loony Dog Queen.
The first show bet goes to you.
The first show bet, the Loony Dog Queen is victorious. And our wager, for those of you that might not remember, and just to make sure that Justin's still aware of it, was the loser runs the beep test.
The arrogance that I thought I... You know, that I showed, thinking I could beat you in a Loony Dogs bet is really
Justin,
when I think about
the
it.
Show. You'll learn.
And I think I challenged you as well, which is just so regrettable. But I have no problem doing the beep test. I'll do the beep test. I'll set up some cones at a nearby park. I'll run the beep test on my own time. I'll give you a score. See what I got.
No, that's not acceptable as I need to be there.
The stipulations weren't there. And I feel like I want to control as many variables as possible.
It needs to be filmed and the listeners need to be aware of your performance.
They will, but I don't have that like Sid Sixero level of self-deprecation where I'm going to wear Spanx or whatever he was wearing on that challenge a long time ago. Mm. You know, where he came in on the bike into the parking lot. Like I don't have enough self-confidence.
Justin, I live streamed me
something like
eating
that off.
Seven hot dogs at the Rogers Center.
You weren't on the entire time.
There's footage of me struggling to consume the seventh hot dog. And I look like I'm in the lowest part of my life. And I put that out there on the internet for the loyal listeners. And they appreciated the sacrifices I took for this show. And now you have to do the same. You need to put yourself out there.
I will share what happened.
That's not good enough.
I will give you the moments directly after. I'll give you the score live as it happens. But I need to make sure this isn't a complete disaster.
I don't care if you get five. I just want to be there to witness it. I want to cheer you on, Justin. I'm your teammate.
You know what I'm actually most concerned about? I mean, I'm most concerned about doing it in front of people. But can you imagine someone, early 30s, setting up cones at a park?
That's actually super embarrassing.
To run a beep test by himself? Like, this is... I need to do this when nobody is... I need to do it before we come in. Because otherwise, someone's going to see me and think I'm an absolute lunatic.
That's
setting
true.
Up pylons
think about
for
that.
Myself. with headphones so I can hear a beep. Like, this is...
Or they're going to think you're like some... Like, who's this guy? Who's this guy training? Is he on a PTO at the Leafs?
What an athlete.
See their seventh defenseman that's coming up? Anyway, I think that we're not in agreement, and I would like the fans, 590 to text in. I think I'm in the position here to make some rules. It's the first show bet one. I think you need to be allowing for fans and your team to support you and to cheer you on this journey.
Maybe I'll run a practice beep test to see where I'm at. See how the lungs can hold up. And then if I feel at least confident enough that it won't be like I'm like puking all over the place in front of people like that, I don't really want to do that. And I probably won't get to that point. But I need to see where the cardiovascular system is before I do this in front of people.
Okay, we got a couple texts in for you. All right?
Yep.
This won't make you feel good. Noah in Newmarket. I went through a officer program a few years ago. The OPP standard for the beep test is 7.5. As a smoker, I hit 8. Justin will be fine.
I think I can get 7.5.
Okay, so second part of this is Brody from Windsor. An impeccable question. Are we setting the over-under for Justin's beep test performance? Of course, Brody. And I'm going to take some time to evaluate that because I'm the sharp of the show.
Yeah, you are.
And this is really important. But yes, 100% we are. James from East York. It's not that big of a deal, Justin. She'll cheer you on. She's a good teammate. Of course. I want to be there to support. I'll make you a sign, Justin.
Okay, but that's the thing. That's what I don't like. I don't mind if you're there.
Grow up.
I don't need a sign.
Jesse and Pickering. Justin, you lost. Suck it up and get it done. Hell yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Who's going to know? Instagram Live 100%.
I'm honorable. I will honor the bet.
I don't know.
I don't want a sign.
I think you'll be proud.
There's an excuse here, too. Because we talked about, you know, how close it was. Just 743 dogs over. How many dogs did you buy? How many dogs did you buy?
I bought 8 hot dogs, and I ate 7 of them.
You bought 8?
Yes.
Okay, so you left one on the floor. You left one on the floor, right?
Yeah, I did leave one on the floor.
1 out of 8. What's the percentage there? I should know this, but whatever. 12%?
Sure.
12.5? Anyway. So let's say 10% of hot dogs were left on the floor. A lot of hot dogs.
That wasn't part of the bet.
I know it's not a part of the bet. I will run the beep test. However, there were fewer than 50,000 hot dogs consumed on Tuesday.
You should have been better with the rules that you wrote there.
That is a fact. Now, you should have been better with the rules because I'm going to do this in the comfort of my own park.
Ailish gets to be there 100%. That's the part of making a bet. If she isn't there to reap the rewards of winning by watching you, what was the point of the bet? Ian in Cambridge. Yep.
All right, Ian. I will. You can set it up, but you got to measure it out because that's my biggest concern. How am I going to measure 20 years?
I get to come now? Yes, thank you. One last one before I take a break. Rick from Little Britain. Within 1,000, that's Price is Right double showcase winner. Good, which means
I can't go over, right? So you literally won the
double showcase, which means I get to be there. Come on. Like, that is impeccable.
You can be there, but let me get like 5 jogs in so that my lungs remember what running feels like. Is that okay? Is that a compromise?
Sure. I can give you 2 weeks to practice.
We'll do it after the show next Friday. If you can fit it into your busy schedule.
I'll literally move heaven and earth to be there, okay?
Okay.
Adam and Tonham, Ayla should be there with a sign to make it 10 times better. This must be filmed. Justin, there are excuses and then there are results. Dan from the bridge.
I mean, I feel like I'm owning it, guys.
When you lose the bet, you lose the right to dictate the rules. Ayla is there to record it or didn't happen. Allison in Toronto. Justin is soft. Hell yeah. Now people are getting mad. So don't want to upset them.
I'm not going to upset them.
Perfect. Okay. Really glad that we figured this out during the A-list because it's been weighing on my mind for 17 hours since finding out that I was victorious.
You're also, like, I guarantee you own cones too, and I don't own cones.
I got cones.
I know you got
cones. I have a stopwatch too. You better start.
I need it in my
limbering
head.
Limbering up, buddy.
I get the test in my head.
Sure.
Because there's no other way to do it, right?
Well, I got a speaker system we can bring to the park.
I guess so. Now I got to do some jogging.
You know what? You have every break here during the show to start stretching and limbering up. We're going to take one now. John Morosi after the break joining us. What a great time for him to join the show after Aaron Judge hits number 61 last night. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with runner Justin Cuthbert and winner Ailish Forfar on the Fan Morning Show. It's 4 Step 590 The Fan.